to the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you very much for sticking with us on this Friday morning. Yeah, a little, how about this, guys? Mark Green. He's a congressman from Tennessee, former Army Special Operations Officer, tweeting about Parker Griffin's comments on this program from the other day. I'll just read it real quick, then we'll get to our next guest. Politicizing veterans' mental health is way over the line. It's completely reprehensible. This is an attack on all veterans. It has no place in our campaigns, especially within the GOP. Former Democrat Representative Parker Griffin is way over the line and must apologize for his abhorrent comments. So it's making the waves. That's like I said, guys. You like the wrestling, the back and forth aspects of the Senate race. Well, you're getting them here on the Jeff Porch Show, but enough of that. Let's get to our next guest. I like to call him, he is officially the returning champion of the program. Hails from Daphne, State Senator Chris Elliott's on the line with us. Senator, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well and glad to be back in Baldwin County after a very, very long and active session.
Well, that's good to hear. I had to admit that I was wrong. I fully had expected that you would have left before the gavel hit the wood there for signy die, but you stuck it out till the end.
Well, you know, we needed to do that. There were some of my colleagues that had kind of squirted out and headed home and avoided some of the chicanery that happens towards the end of session sometimes, but that's also where you need to be vigilant sometimes, so you don't end up with something passing that you're unaware of or not paying attention with, and that can happen. So yeah, there to the bitter end, and getting back home and getting back to work this morning.
Well, that's good to hear. Let's kick it off here. A certain flurry of activity there at the very, very end. And we were talking about this off air. It's not so much the Senate, although the Senate, you know, had to, in some aspects, had to go along with a lot of it. But with the amendments and such. But you got a lot done on these final few days.
We certainly did, and I'm particularly proud of a number of really tough issues that were able to get final passage in both houses and will become law. I mean, if you look at Representative Scott Staghays' leadership on these transgender issues and things like that, and then what the Senate was able to do through an amendment that deals with, you know, teaching of some of these, those transgender issues in schools and, I think it was a good win for social conservatives. Lots of discussion about divisive concepts, and that did not make it through the Senate on the final day, but I fully expect for it to do so next year. You see good conservative budgets. You see surpluses. You see debt being paid off. You see money being saved, literally saved for rainy day funds. You saw Representative West Allen pass a good bill to deal with elections. And election security and preventing outside funding, you know, from the Zuckerbergs of the world and an influence in our election. So I think there was a really good slate of very good conservative bills, including tax cuts for Alabamians, which is exactly what we should be doing if we're seeing surpluses. And I think it's something that we can all be proud of. It was a hard session, a long session, but one with tangible results that we could put on the scoreboard and say, hey, this is what we're sent here to do, and we got it done.
Now, a lot of your critics, whatever you want to say, I guess it's the transgender therapy prohibition, then also yesterday with the bathroom bill and whatever we're going to call what they're calling the Don't Say Gay bill. I don't like that term, and I don't think many people do because it's intellectually dishonest, but it's kind of come to know what it is. But anyway, with those bills passed, your critics are saying, oh, it's an election year, you're just Republican, and you're just trying to play to the base or whatever. But I don't know. I look up and down this ballot and these qualifying lists in the ALGOP, and a lot of you just running unopposed. It's not as if the legislature is going to flip to Democrat anytime soon. And I think it's a cop out to say a lot of what you had guys had done was a product of election politics.
I completely agree with you. I mean, I don't have an opponent. I'm not campaigning. What I am doing is representing the people of South Baldwin County and their interest in what they sent me to Montgomery to do. And this is what they sent me to Montgomery to do: protect our children and make sure we have good, sound, you know, education policies, and that we're working hard to improve our education in the state of Alabama, and that, you know, on these transgender issues and things of that nature. I mean, you know, gosh, we're doing what our constituents have asked us to do, and we are performing, and that's what your representative, you know, democracy should be doing for you, and that's exactly what's happening. Yes, campaigns are where you hold people accountable, but if you're in elections are where you hold people accountable, but isn't it a good thing when your elected representatives are doing what your constituency wants them to do? That's how it's set up, and I think that when you see folks that are unopposed, that might be exactly why they're unopposed. The constituents think they're doing a good job. If not, you'd see more opposition.
Yeah, and you know, the other side of that equation is this: it is a Republican supermajority. You in theory should be able to steamroll the Democrats. So one would think the Democrats, if it were pro tem Bobby Singleton and House Speaker Anthony Daniels, that they would steamroll Republicans and they would try to fundamentally change state. But the Republicans don't seem to be necessarily as willing to do that. They're very deferential to the Democrats. Look, I understand that the nuance of the chambers are a little different, and it seems like the Senate is much more of a body that gets along, and there's a lot of bipartisanship, but a lot of times, particularly in the House, it doesn't seem like the Republicans are really governing as a supermajority.
Well, I can speak to the Senate, and certainly the bodies, you are correct, are very, very different in how they operate. They're different in their makeup and the personalities of their makeup, you know, the makeup of the body. The individuals are just different. And it is complicated. But in the Senate in particular, look, the Democrats, those are my colleagues and those are my friends. We work together every day. We do not agree on everything. As a matter of fact, we don't agree on a lot of things, that are very important to me and my constituents. But we are absolutely going to disagree respectfully, and we are going to be fair in our dealings with each other, because if we're not, it devolves quickly, and my ability and my colleagues' ability to get anything done is hampered. But the rules in the Senate give party a lot of power still, and my colleagues on the other side of the aisle are very good at operating within the rules, and they can absolutely stymie much of the good work we have been able to do if they want to. If they are not looped in, if they are not respected, if they are not treated fairly, and frankly, if they're not allowed to get some of their priorities across the line, those that we can agree with. And that's exactly how we go. You know, we operate in the Senate. Look, if you've got a horse with a rock in its hoof, it's not going to be able to gallop very far, right? That's going to cause a problem. And I look at that, and I, you know, with my colleagues on the other side of the aisle, if we're working together, we're going to be able to get much further. And you see pieces of legislation passed and be signed into law that would never be possible without cooperation and fairness and respect for the other side of the aisle.
Joined by State Senator Chris Elliott here on the program. Is my observation is this, and I look, I am not an expert on what goes on the Democrat side of the aisle. My relationship with the Democrat lawmakers, just a few of them will even speak to me. But I do get the sense with Leader Singleton that he is really trying to broker the best deal available. And I think he takes a lot of flack from within his own party because, you know, he's playing with a very limited hand, but you got to look at the way the Democrats are in the Senate, particularly Roger Smitherman, to be playing with such limited numbers. That is a very effective Democrat caucus in the Senate.
I would agree with you, and and they are effective because they engage. Yes, they understand the hand, if you will, that they are playing with. They maximize the return for their constituents. Some of them are Republicans. It's important to note that as well. And they're all Alabamians, but they are very good at representing their constituents, and working with Republicans to really achieve all that they can, given the fact that they are faced with a supermajority on the other side. But they also, they certainly realize that, and they understand that we are going to pass legislation that is important to the caucus, the Republican caucus, and they are smart, very smart in how they work with us to accomplish that.
Yeah, and they pick and choose their battles. I mean, tactically. I don't know where you are on it, but just kind of talking and you know that you don't want to get on Roger Smitherman's bad side, that he does keep score, and if you do cloture him, well, then he is going to try to slow everything down, not just on the floor, but in committee, and that they're willing to do that, I think, also lends itself to be very effective.
You're correct, and that's. Cloture is a tool that we can use in the supermajority, of course, and that we did use several times this session. But it's a tool that should be used sparingly. You know, the Senate is a place for debate. It is a place for conversation, and it is a place for sometimes for compromise. And when you cloture a colleague, they are going to remember that, and they are going to have the opportunity and avail themselves of that opportunity to make their displeasure known. And that is why things get left undone, where things don't happen, because they are effective at using those rules and reacting. And sometimes the decisions that you make about what you put on the calendar and what you bring before the body have a very large impact on how effective you're going to be as a caucus and what you're actually going to get passed, because our colleagues on the other side of the aisle understand the rules and how to deal with them. So it's about being respectful. It's about being fair, but doing so from a position of strength. And I think you see the leadership of Senator Greg Reed and the majority leader, Clay Schofield, certainly very much at play there in being effective leaders and making sure that we are able to get things done, that we can go back to our constituents and say, look, we were able to accomplish these things that were important to you. Are they everything you want? No. But that is life, and we will go back to work next year.
And look, these guys, they've only got like a year and a half under their belt at the pro tem and the majority leader, and everybody's kind of watching to see, well, how is that going to work out? I mean, Senator Marsh was in that spot for so long. Now, certainly Senator Reed has been, right there and following in Senator Marsh's footsteps. But, give him pretty high marks, I would think, these last couple of sessions, especially with the special sessions as well. They've done a pretty, I would say, an adequate job. They haven't made anybody too mad. You see that from time to time from leadership, but essentially pretty okay with the way they've handled themselves.
Well, Jeff, I don't have any problem calling balls and strikes and speaking truth to power, but I will tell you this. I've been incredibly impressed with the leadership of the pro tem Senator Reed and the majority leader Clay Schofield. They are navigating a minefield of a 3D minefield, if you will, every day. And it is impressive for me sometimes to sit back and watch them handle problem after problem, personality issues between members, policy differences, complex legislation, and somehow or another figure out a way to make all of that work. And their staff as well really have done a masterful job at that. I am thoroughly impressed. I find myself sometimes sitting back in my chair on the chamber floor watching that dance go on and how well it is negotiated. within our own caucus, and then you add the layer of he's the pro tem of the entire Senate, and working with the minority caucus as well. He does. Senator Reid has just done a real masterful job. It is impressive to watch him.
Yeah, I think so, too, because a lot of people don't recognize this, Senator, that there's a lot going on behind the scenes. You have these closed-door caucus meetings. I mean, what the public is privy to, what we may think, is not necessarily a full picture, and that the leadership, Schofield and Reid, really have to put a lot of fires out that maybe we're not even aware of publicly.
Oh, absolutely. And look at how things are moving in Washington and compare and contrast that with what your Alabama legislature is doing. We're being affected. We are seeing things signed into law. This is not gridlock and the acrimony. There's a fair amount of the acrimony that goes around, but you are seeing, by and large, respectful conversation and debate, activity on the floor, and activity that yields, legislation that is signed into law and becoming law and doing what our constituents want to do. And that's why, that's why it would be so hard for me, I think, to serve in Congress or to try to work in Washington, is because I've seen it happen and work so effectively here in Alabama. I think I may just be spoiled.
Senator, we're going to leave it there. You always kind of come on Fridays and get some rest, and hopefully the weather works out for you. But enjoy yourself back in at the home base there.
I will do it. I hope you and yours have a great weekend.
Thanks a lot. State Senator Chris Elliott there. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5.
So the story ends, we're told. I don't need your prayers, it's true. Save a few.